This is minute 174 of the Godfather Minute, starring me, Alex Robinson.
And starring me, Marlon Brando.
And this is minute 174.
74.
174. Are you trying to cut me off?
No, I'm trying to say it with you, Alex, but you're speaking too fast. You're like a Pezzo Navante. Alex, repeat after me, e minuto.
E minuto.
Numero.
Numero.
Cento Pezzo Navante.
Cento penso novante.
I'm just kidding.
Cento, I'm just kidding.
174.
174.
You got it.
Nice. We only have like 4 minutes left.
That's right.
And this is the last minute with anything other than credits in it. So
this is it. This is really the last. I consider this the last minute. The last minute.
I consider it the last, the final minute. I wouldn't go so far as to say the last minute.
All right.
Well, minute
remember
one.
Remember, we talked about the last dawn.
Uh huh.
Is the final dawn a better, more catchy a name? The final dawn.
The final dawn or the last dawn? Well, I guess last means that there could be more coming.
It's true.
Because if you say, "Oh, the last time I was here," or the last bus.
That's such a lame name for a movie when you think of it that way. The Last Dawn. It's like, oh, yeah, the last guy who was here.
The most recent Dawn.
Yeah. I don't think they meant it to be interpreted that way. But that also keeps the door open for sequels.
Yes, that's true, because they can always...
It's all about sequels.
I guess the last one would be The Last Dawn, The Final Dawn. That would be like the finale of the series.
Why would it even be called The Last Dawn? Wouldn't it just be called The Final Dawn?
No, because we've already had The Last Dawn and The Last Dawn 2.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So then we'd have like The Last Dawn 4, Last Dawn Tuesday, Last Dawn Thursday.
No.
Well, minute 174 is pretty simple. Al nearly closes the door on Kay's face. And then we have a bunch of credits culminating in Diane Keaton as Kay Adams. Not credited as Kay Corleone.
Interesting. Is that foreshadowing for GF2? Or did she spend the majority of GF1 as Kay Adams? Therefore, it was required by the Motion Picture Association of America for her to be credited as
Jack
Kay
Wolf.
Adams.
Listen, I would love to give you the full credit, but anything but that.
Yeah, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. Either Corleone's going to be at the end of Kay's name, or Walter's blood is going to be all over those credits. They have to muscle. What would they do now that they've already killed his horse if they had to muscle Waltz into changing the credit rules for her?
I think it would just be more pieces of the horse.
Oh, they just keep delivering more pieces?
Yeah.
What do you think if Waltz woke up again and there was just a different horse's head? Would he be as terrorized?
I have to think so.
Really? I thought maybe 80% of his screaming was because it was cartoon.
What?
And 20% was, wow, there's a dead horse in my bed.
So you think if it was not his horse, he'd be like, wait a minute, that's not my horse.
I think he'd be like, oh, wow, whoa, that scared me. That Vic German Kraut.
That horse couldn't have cost more than 70, 80 grand.
Yeah, I read those horse prices. What, you think it was more than that? You don't buy the 80-20 ratio?
No, I don't think so. I'm going to guess that it was probably... He probably didn't even realize it was cartoon at first.
Oh, really?
I think it was probably not until like he was like the end. Like he wakes up, he screams, everyone comes in. Oh my gosh, the police, call up the police, blah, blah, blah. And then later on, he's like, I'm so stressed out. I'm going to go for a ride. And then he went to the stable and he was
Tony,
like, no!
He had the same exact reaction again.
Yeah, exactly.
Just Tony. Can you shout? I think that was his stable. The
Tony,
stable
yeah,
guy. It was Tony. Could you saddle up Cartoon? And Tony assumed that he's just losing his mind.
He's like, So before you said Kay spends most of the movie as Kay Adams.
I'm not sure. I'm just guessing, and that's why she's credited as Kay Adams.
Well, I was going to say, or do you think it's the most, is it the time she has on screen or the time like...
Oh, the elapsed time?
Yeah, because she's literally is in almost the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie. Like, she's in the first scene and the last scene, you know. So...
Oh, but the 2 year, that's... yeah, she definitely spent more time as Kay Adams because... the whole 2 years in Sicily,
right?
She was Kay Adams, and that was probably the bulk of the movie's time duration.
That's true. By the time he comes back, there's only like 40 minutes left. Yeah,
yeah, I think she's only in the movie for like 3 weeks, maybe, with a 2 year hiatus, getting her teaching license.
I think it's also possible that they didn't want to spoil the fact that she was Kay Corleone, because obviously in the credits that's not going to spoil. It's the end of the movie, but like in the ads for the movie or other you know things, if it said Kay Corleone, then you know instantly that she must marry, you know.
She must marry Sonny.
One of the Corleones. She must marry Don. She must marry Vito.
Yeah.
After the death of Mama.
You don't think she would have married Papa?
I definitely know that she would marry Zaza.
Do you think if she had not, let's say Michael never existed or wasn't interested.
Oh, Michael.
If they had never hooked up.
Yeah.
Who do you think she would have, or who would she have been best suited to be with after Michael, of all the characters?
Huh. Who would she be best suited with, or who do I think she would be most drawn to?
Both.
Because I don't think who she'd be drawn to is necessarily who she's the best suited to.
Yeah.
Who she clearly has terrible choice in husbands. She.
Connie even told her that.
I think that Kay would like Sonny. But I think she'd be better fit with Tom. Because Tom is a rational, straight-laced guy, relatively.
Yeah.
But I think
I don't know what you see in Michael. he joined the army on Pop's birthday.
Kay, if I were to accept this, it would be legal proof that I am, in fact, secretly in love with you. I can't accept it.
Okay, I just need you to sign these documents. This nullifies your marriage and and creates a partnership between you and me. You'll learn to love me. You'll learn to love me.
We'll go before a judge and I'll court you.
Stand in love.
So who do you think? Do you think
Kay? She'd say like, Hagen.
Who do you think? Does it have to be a Corleone, or could she go with, have been like Mrs. McCluskey, Kay McCluskey?
I think she'd be drawn to Johnny Fontaine, because we see that.
Yeah, everyone is.
Everyone. And I think she likes the bad boys. I think Carlo.
Carlo?
Yeah.
Do you think that's why she's so upset about the fact that Mikey might have had him killed?
She didn't care about Connie. She's like, is it true, Michael?
Oh, Carlo.
This is ridiculous. What are we even talking about?
And right, a man in our position cannot afford to look ridiculous. Now, when I was preparing for this minute to take notes and such.
The last minute or the final minute?
This current minute that we're on, the final minute. Mm-hmm. Not the last minute, the final minute. No, it is the last minute. It's not the final minute.
No, we did the last minute last week. By the way, remind me to tell you about my knock-knock kind of who's on first bit.
Oh, tell me about your knock-knock who's on first bit.
You want me to tell you right now?
Yeah.
Okay, my friend, our Latin scholar Peter Carucci, and I used to write bits together. And we came up with the funniest bit idea, sort of an updating of the Who's On First.
Okay.
I don't even know if you could say this anymore because it involves someone who doesn't know English very well, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Oh, dear.
I think it's funny. I think it still is okay. So there's a guy or woman teaching someone who just arrived in America how to do a knock-knock joke.
Okay.
Because it's, I think it's kind of American. I think it's American. Maybe I'm just assuming that.
Hmm.
So,
or is it?
Go ahead.
So I was just going to, I remember when, one thing that I find funny is that every country has a different sound for what roosters make.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I wonder if it is like knock-knock jokes. If you go to like Holland, it's like klek klek or,
oh,
you
know, yeah,
like, you know, some other variation
of. You know
what?
I think we should, you know what? We'll ask. We'll answer.
All right.
Say with me, Alex.
We'll ask, we'll answer.
And it, just to see if they have an equivalent of a knock-knock joke.
Exactly.
I'm sure they have the sound. The sound is different in different countries.
So it's a two-part question. What sounds do other people make for the sound of someone knocking at the door?
Yeah.
And do they then use that sound in humorous contexts?
Yeah, is there a standard knock-knock joke? So in this bit, not to go off too much on it. I don't even have the script. We wrote it down once. It was, so the guy's teaching him. He says, okay, say knock, knock. And the guy says, who, like, who? He's like, no, 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 you say knock, knock. And the guy's like, why am I saying knock? So it's just that kind of back and forth.
Right.
It's just real struggle to teach this guy how to knock, say.
Oh,
knock,
I see. So it's because he's an immigrant because he's so dumb he can't learn a knock, knock joke.
Alex, it's English proficiency. He hasn't learned English yet.
Okay.
That's I'm not commenting on anything else. So come on, it's a little bit of fun. Why do you got to make it political?
Hey, I'm just saying, disenfranchised voters, they have a right to...
oh, you want to jump to the political... You think it's a political cartoon?
I think it is.
What else you got for this minute?
Well, I was going to say that as I was preparing my notes, you told me, you said, don't write any notes. I have so much content from the book that I can do this episode single-handedly. So I'm going to hand it over to you and let's see what you got.
Oh, okay. We're going right to the book.
Yeah, I took no notes because you told me to. There's not as much notes to do anyway because it's just literally Al nearly closing the door.
So you got nothing?
I got nothing.
Okay. You kind of put me on the spot here, man. I have some stuff, but I don't know if I have.
Repeatedly? We have a sworn affidavit that you have prepared material.
We have three text messages here. Where are they? Sure, you got it. Here we go. And then remind me, I have also a cool idea for artwork.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to do it, so it might not be so cool. Here we go. Puzo writes, page 435. Kate could see how Michael, so this is Kay looking in the doorway and seeing Michael interact with his inner circle at the end of the movie. But it's not the end, it's not the end of the book.
Right.
Kay could see how Michael stood to receive their homage. He reminded her of statues in Rome, statues of those Roman emperors of antiquity who, by divine right, held the power of life and death over their fellow men. One hand was on his hip. The profile of his face showed a cold, proud power. His body was carelessly, arrogantly at ease, blah, 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 blah. The Kappa regime stood before him. And this is the key part why I wanted to read it, Alex. In that moment, Kay knew that everything Connie had accused Michael of was true.
Oh, he truly was the Godfather.
Or it was like, dun, dun, dun. She went back into the kitchen and wept.
Oh.
Alex, comment.
Comments?
What do you think? So you remember last week we were speculating, does she believe him? Does she not? So it turns out she knows he was lying.
At least in the book. Apparently the movie at one point was going to end with Kay Corleone in church lighting a candle for Michael Corleone's damned soul.
Mm.
So
that is in the book.
Yeah. I think Mama turned into a Catholic.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think it's a stronger story that Kay doesn't believe him or that she's a sucker?
I think it's a stronger story that she wants to believe him.
Mm. Yeah, but she doesn't.
And there's definitely a look of ambivalence on Diane Keaton's face.
Yeah.
I think it's better if it's kind of left unsolved. Best left unsolved. Let the audience decide.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
I would say this is one of the... So do you have more from the book?
Oh, a lot more from the book.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But go ahead.
I was going to say, I feel like this is one of the most iconic endings in film history.
Wow. Okay.
Would you say that's like as terms of like last shots in a movie?
You know, Alex, I've kind of lost I've lost perspective doing this every week. It's kind of hard to tell. But yeah, it's memorable, no doubt. And yeah, it's significant. It's not just like, something I do want to point out is, did you notice the music?
Mm-hmm.
So the music is, it's the classic Godfather strings, but the melody, the melodic figure, doesn't resolve.
Hmm.
When it shows K, it's mid melody, and it ends without the cadence, the return to the root.
Could you explain what you mean by that for non musicians?
Yeah,
it's not resolved. What does that
mean?
Is it like
unresolved,
a knock knock joke,
like,
and you just leave it hanging?
Leave it hanging. I'll give you an example.
Knock knock.
Yes. No. Say knock knock.
Who?
No. You're you getting it now, Alex. It's funny.
It is,
right?
Pretty funny.
So I'm going to give you an example.
Okay, give me an example.
This is kind of a funnier example, but da na 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 na. That's unresolved.
Okay.
Yeah.
What if you did da na 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 da da?
That's even less resolved. Even though there are more notes, it's even less resolved.
Because it comes closer to being resolved. I see.
How about this one? Da da na na na.
How about this one? Da 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 da.
Oh, it's painful to hear these. How about this one? Da, na, 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 na.
Now, what is the purpose of why does someone leave a note unresolved?
Well, it's not common in musical composition,
right? So was it a mistake? Was it?
No, I think it's absolutely deliberate. It leaves you unsettled, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
So and it to me, I guess, knowing what happens in GF2 and that K still has doubts, it's symbolic that this is really to be continued.
Mm.
Let's see where this goes. This is not over, Alex.
Nothing is over.
Nothing is over.
Not until we say it's over, anyway.
No.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Go back and listen to it. It's really well done.
No, I'm never going to watch this movie again.
Just the last minute. I mean, the final minute. So here we go. So now we are in the last chapter. So book 9, chapter 32 of the book, Alex. The final chapter. And this is the last I think I'm going to read from the book.
Aww.
There are a few parts to this, though.
Okay.
Here we go. Puzo writes, page 438. The bloody victory of the Corleone family was not complete until a year of delicate political maneuvering established Michael Corleone as the most powerful family chief in the U.S.
That's a whole nother year.
Yeah. For 12 months, Michael divided his time between his headquarters at the mall in Long Beach and his new home in Vegas. By the end of that year, he decided to close out the New York operation and sell the houses and the mall property. So Puzo in this last chapter kind of flashes back and forth between sort of like a year later when they are packing up the house. So what we see in the Godfather movie is actually a year later.
Weird.
Not the Connie confrontation.
Yeah, I was going to say that part doesn't.
That happens right away. But the whole packing up and Kay and all that. Kay goes west. And then
Goes west.
Oh, wait, she can't go west until she packs up. Let's see. So here we are 12 months later. Now the Corleone family was unchallengeable. So here's some interesting some epilogue bits. So Clemenza had his own family.
Hmm.
Yeah. Rocco Lampone was the Corleone capo regime.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's one. I guess Rocco took the place of Clemenza and Tessio. And in Nevada, Albert Neri was head of all security for the family-controlled hotels. Hagen, too, was part of Michael's Western family.
Hmm.
What do you make of that, Alex?
Well, it's not consistent with what we see in GF2.
Mm-hmm. With Frankie Five Angels?
Yeah, because, although I don't know, let's see. Clemenza is dead.
And Michael, this is in GF2 we're talking.
Yeah.
And then Michael says, I was happy when you took over
the house. Yeah. And also, he clearly, Frankie Five Angels still answers to Michael Corleone in GF2.
Yeah.
So if he took over Clemenza's family, or, you know, if he became the new... it doesn't quite jive, but...
Yeah, it doesn't, because isn't... Well, because...
But the book is different than the movie.
The book is different than the movie. The book is different than the movie. The book is different. The book is different. The book is different than the movie. Yeah.
You're right, Alex. How about this one? The book is different than the... So your task is to come up with the most unresolved melody. What melody would you take out a couple notes, is most annoying to people because it's unfinished? Anyway, think about that.
I almost feel like the shave and a haircut one is going to be the just because everyone will go. But is it more annoying to go da 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 da? I feel like that's more annoying because if someone goes da 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 da, then it's almost like they're inviting you to complete it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if they go da 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 da, then it just sounds like the tape got cut off or something.
You also cut it off. You just cut it off like Her Majesty. Da 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 da. Okay, Futsal writes.
Yes.
Now I already read that. Time helped heal. Oh, this is interesting. Time helped heal the old wounds. Connie Corleone was reconciled to her brother.
Oh.
Indeed, not more than a week after her terrible accusations, she apologized to Michael for what she had said and assured Kay that there had been no truth in her words. That it had been only a young widow's hysteria. That's interesting, right?
Yeah. Why do you think...
Why'd she come around?
You think she's just like, well, there's no way around this. Like,
yeah.
Me getting mad at him is not going to do anything, like, other than make me be the outsider.
Are you suggesting she doesn't believe that he had Carlo killed?
No, I think she does believe it, but she's enough of a realist to be like, well, what am I going to do about it? Like,
thinks Michael had him killed.
Yes.
Okay.
But is like, well, he did help Sonny be killed, and, you know, like, she rationalizes it in her head and still has like a lot of deep resentments that she might not even realize, as we see in GF2. She doesn't seem like, you know, she seems very well, though she is getting tripped on the queen, so I don't know what she's got to be upset about.
Yeah. And it's interesting, Puto wrote that she assured Kay that there had been no truth in her words. So it's almost like there's a part two to this. She says, Kay, Michael's a good man. He wouldn't have done this. There's your husband. There's your husband. It's all calm. It's the same words.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Or anytime he's doing something good.
Yeah.
Like, he's donating husband to the Sierra Boys Club, you know, in the beginning of G2, she appears. Kay, look, there's your husband. There's your husband.
For your father.
Oh, no, she says that to Anthony. Anthony, will you hug your father? Your father?
Anthony, would you make Al a drink?
All right, here we go. A little bit more about Connie. Puzo writes, Connie Corleone easily found a new husband.
Whoa!
In fact, she did not wait the year of respect before filling her bed again with a fine young fellow who had come to work for the Corleone family as a male secretary.
A male secretary?
Yeah.
M-A-I-L, you mean. Not M-A-L-E.
M-A-L-E.
Wow.
Yeah, I think she thought he was working there as a secretary, but he was really like a stripper that Fredo hired, you know, as part of one of his nightclubs.
Yeah, I'm the secretary.
A boy from a reliable Italian family, but graduated from the top business college in America.
Hmm.
Naturally, his marriage to the sister of the Don made his future assured.
Well, obviously that's not true.
Either. I know. I feel like I read the same paragraph, you know, 2.5 years ago. Okay. So, yeah. So that doesn't totally jive because in the book, what I just read, Connie seems to have forgiven Michael.
She seems at peace with the
decision. At peace, but in GF2, clearly she is doing things to hurt Michael and doesn't forgive him.
Right. Well, you know, people are complex.
Either that or the book is different from the... Puzo writes, Kay Adams Corleone had delighted her in-laws by taking instruction in the Catholic religion.
Oh.
Yeah, she joined it, and her two boys also. Michael himself had not been too pleased by this. Mm. He would have preferred the children to be Protestant. Alex, can you guess why?
Is it because of they get farther ahead in the world?
It was more American.
Yeah, there you go.
Michael in the book really wants them to be American.
Yeah.
Puzo writes that to her...
Well, don't forget, Biden will only be our second Catholic president.
Yeah, that's right.
So at the time that this was happening in 1957 or whatever, there wasn't even a single Catholic president.
Oh, yeah.
So you can understand why Mikey's like, come on.
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Do you think Pop would have supported that? The old man?
Well, I don't think he was a very religious fellow.
Yeah.
So in some sense, I don't think he would care. But then again, he is called the Godfather, so maybe his belief in that stuff is more deep-seated. He might not be into the church, but he might really believe the hype. You know?
Yeah. I mean, he was an old mustache Pete.
Yeah,
in
I don't
some
know.
Ways.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
You can never lose your religion.
Yeah. Sonny, the old man dies, you make your kids Protestant.
What's the matter with you?
It's not like you can get right up into the confessional. Boom. So Kay came to love living in Nevada, to her surprise.
She
loved
air.
The scenery, the hills, the canyons.
The gambling.
This is interesting. Puzo writes, her two boys rode their own ponies.
Wow.
She had real servants, not bodyguards. And Michael lived a more normal life. He owned a construction business. He joined the businessmen's clubs and civic committees. He had a healthy interest in local politics without interfering publicly. It was a good life.
He asked. He mentioned it.
Well, he tried to interfere with politics, but Mama said, don't interfere. Don't interfere. Okay, let's see. So Kay and Michael are talking. Michael says, why the hell do you have to go to church every morning? He said, I don't mind Sundays, but why the hell during the week? You're as bad as my mother. He reached over in the darkness and switched on the table light. Kay sat at the edge of the bed to pull on her stockings. You know how converted Catholics are, she said. They take it more seriously. Michael makes a little pass at her, reaches over, touches her thigh. Of course, we've got to end the book.
Whoa. Slow down. Let's not go stampede to the exit just yet.
Oh, God. You can read that part yourself. We're ending in classic Puzo fashion. But she stops him and says, don't.
No.
I'm taking communion this morning. He didn't try to hold her when she got up from the bed.
Wait, so is that like boxing or something where you don't, if you're taking communion, like you know, no sex before communion?
It was just like a religious thing. I don't know if it's an energy thing. You know how converted Catholics are. I'm taking communion this morning, Alex, and Michael.
Alex.
It requires all my energy. Would you go to one of your Don meetings after having made love to me?
One of your Don meetings. One of your fancy Don meetings.
I think Tatalia only goes to Don meetings after he's made
true.
Love.
Well, you don't want to go in with a loaded gun.
Well, loaded guns aren't allowed in those Don meetings.
Poor choice of words.
Michael says, if you're such a strict Catholic, how come you let the kids duck going to church so much?
Oh.
She felt uncomfortable and she was wary. He was studying her with what she thought of privately as his, quote, Don's eye.
Ooh.
So I just wanted to kind of read that. I thought that was interesting that she knows when he's really observing and trying to find something out. His Don's eye.
Hmm.
Let's see a little bit more. So, okay. So now this is back in, this is now shortly after the end of the movie. So everything I just read was like a year later, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're back in, and right after the whole killing of the bosses and all that stuff.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, so guess what? Kay, yeah. When she came to understand right away when Al shuts the door on her that he did have Carlo killed, you know what she did?
What?
She left him.
No.
Kay left him.
Wow.
She left him because of that lie, not because of the deed.
Hmm.
The next morning, she said, Alex, this is a lesson for you, too.
It's not the crime. It's the cover-up.
Yep.
Nixon taught us that.
That's right. The next month, if there's anything President Nixon taught us. You see, Tom, my father taught me to think as President Nixon did. All of the men around us are businessmen. The next morning, she had taken the children away with her to her parents' home in New Hampshire.
Hmm.
Without a word, she just took off.
Michael, you really think he's going to let her, he's going to let her take away his kids?
No. Michael had immediately understood. He had called her the first day and then left her alone. But guess who shows up in New Hampshire in a limo to go and talk to her, Alex?
Who?
Tom Hagen. The peacemaker. Kay, you must understand. So this whole next section and last section of the book is a conversation between Tom and Kay. I'll just pull out some excerpts.
Okay.
This opening is just so funny. Puzo writes, page 441. Kay had spent a long, terrible afternoon with Tom Hagen. The most terrible afternoon of her life.
Oh, my gosh.
What is he doing? He's breaking her down with legalese jargon. Kay, you must understand why there's a warrant out. They had gone for a walk in the woods outside her little town, and Hagen had not been gentle.
Whoa.
So they're kind of going back and forth. I won't read the whole thing. Like, you know,
the nature of his hostility?
Well, he's pretty much there to convince her to come back.
Okay.
I'll read some of it. So Hagen asks quietly, why did you run? Hagen asks quietly, why did you run away? Kay said, because Michael lied to me, because he made a fool of me when he stood godfather to Connie's boy. He betrayed me. I can't love a man like that. I can't live with it. I can't let him be father to my children. I don't know what you're talking about, Hagen said. So let's pause. What do you make of that, Alex?
Well, Tom's not going to admit knowing anything about the killings in case she's wearing a wire or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He has to be careful about what he says.
Would you ever wear a wire?
Yes.
Hmm.
I'm wearing one right now. It's not even hidden. It's in front of my face. I'm talking into it, Alex.
It's your backup recording. It's a wire strapped to your chest.
Yeah. Would you?
I think I would.
Yeah.
I think it'd be exciting.
Yeah. What kind of case would you want to wear a wire for?
Oh, it would have to be...
Moida?
It would have to be... what's the other? Wire fraud.
Oh, because you're wearing
a
wire?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's too confusing.
that's why they call it wearing a wire. Okay.
Why are you asking me this?
Can you get a little closer to your microphone, Alex, when you answer that question?
Sorry. I'm going to go. It's got to be something like racketeering or something, whatever that exactly means.
Okay.
The rackets.
So you want it to be for a crime you don't understand? So you're just kind of talking until they hopefully say something.
Well, that way, if I get busted, I could be like, dude, I didn't even know what you guys were talking about.
Let the record show my client, my one client had no knowledge of what racketeering is.
Tennis? Something about tennis?
Yeah.
But yeah, if anyone needs me to wear a wire, I'm in.
Hey, by the way, you know what Tom Hagen does when he's playing tennis and it starts to rain?
What does he do?
He goes running for cover.
Do you know what he does? Do you know? Oh no, never mind. Oh no. Oh, I'm trying to think of something with court because he has to go to court. Like, but I thought the line was, "Oh, you'll have to go to court in the morning to show cause," but it's like go for a judge, so it doesn't work.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work.
It's not how Flop wanted it. Or Flop the Clown, Alex.
Sure.
Okay, let's see. So Hagen is still playing dumb. They walked on.
I don't know what you're talking about.
They walked on for a long time in silence. Finally, Hagen said, "You have no way of really knowing that's all true, but just for the sake of argument, let's assume that it's true. I'm not saying it is, remember? But what if I gave you what might be some justification for what he did, or rather some possible justifications?" I love how he keeps
qualifying it.
Covering his ass. It's not true. Let's assume, but it doesn't. Kay looked at him scornfully. That's the first time I've seen the lawyer side of you, Tom. It's not your best side.
Oh.
Hagen grinned. Okay, just hear me out. No, this is key, Alex. What if Carlo had put Sonny on the spot, fingered him?
Oh.
What if Carlo beating up Connie that time was a deliberate plot to get Sonny out in the open? That they knew he would take the route over the Jones Beach Causeway. What if Carlo had been paid to help get Sonny killed? Then what?
Kay?
That's not a surprise. Kay, yeah. Well, okay. Are you ready to come back? Kay didn't answer. Hagen went on. And what if this is interesting, Alex. Okay. Be ready to respond.
Finally.
Be ready to respond.
Okay.
And what if the Don, he's talking about Don Corleone.
You mean Mikey?
No, Don Vito.
Oh, Vito.
And what if the Don, a great man, couldn't bring himself to do what he had to do, avenge his son's death by killing his daughter's husband? Huh. What if that finally was too much for him, and he made Michael his successor, knowing that Michael would take that load off his shoulders, would take that guilt?
Huh.
Whoa.
Interesting.
Very interesting. What do you think?
Well, I feel like this might be more of Tom's spin. Because, like, it's not like as soon as Mikey took over, he killed Carlo. According to various sources, it's literally years between the Don becoming semi-retired and his death. And then Carlo being killed. So it seems like if what the Don really wanted was for Carlo to be killed, seems like that he would have had that happen sooner.
But he might not have had the guts to do it.
The cojones?
Yeah, the cojones to do it. That's what Hagen is suggesting. What if he couldn't bring himself to do what he had to do?
Well, then it doesn't. But regardless of who became the Don, that would have been true. You know what I mean? Like if Sonny was still alive and Sonny became the Don, obviously that doesn't work because Sonny is the one who got killed. But if let's say Clemenza became the Don, if Mikey's like, you know what, I want nothing to do with this pop, and Clemenza becomes the Don, then would Clemenza have waited until after the Don was dead to kill Carlo?
I think so.
I think it was because the Don said, "I forswear all acts of vengeance."
Oh, I see.
So he couldn't. He swore on the souls of his grandchildren.
Oh, that's
remember?
True. So maybe, yeah.
So he couldn't do it.
And another reason Hagen might be taking this angle is because the Don's dead. Don Corleone, Don Vito is dead. And so just blame the dead guy.
Yeah. It's
whereas
handy.
This takes the heat off of Michael. Michael could have been like, well, you know, Pop Juan needed me to do this.
Yeah. It's easy to see Tom and Mikey kind of convincing each other that they made the right decision by killing Carlo because that's what Pop, that's the way Flop wanted it.
You're making funny business with those girls, comedy with those girls.
Flop, Flop. He shows up at the wedding to perform. Oh, Michael, you didn't tell me you knew Flop. Sure. He's practically a brother.
He delivers the papers. Funny papers.
Okay, so we got a little bit more here. Almost done, Alex.
Almost done.
It was all over with, Kay said, tears springing into her eyes. Everybody was happy. Why couldn't Carla be forgiven? Why couldn't everything go on and everybody forget?
Oh.
Yeah. And Tom says, in this world, you could... he looked around, sighed again, and said, in this world, you could do it. Kay said, he's not the man I married. Hagen laughed shortly. If he were, he'd be dead now. You'd be a widow now. You'd have no problem.
Is it true?
If he were not the man he is?
If he wasn't a gangster, would he be dead now?
I think what he means by that is if he weren't as cunning, they all would have died. The other families would have taken the Corleones over. Yeah.
But like if Mikey stuck to his original guns and became a math teacher or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true, yeah. Taking a whole other path.
So.
Poots are right. K blazed out.
But again, that could be Tom just trying to justify their position, you know.
Yeah, and so it keeps going, too. K blazed out at him. What the hell does that mean? Come on, Tom, speak out straight once in your life. I know Michael can't, but you're not Sicilian. You can tell a woman the truth.
Ooh.
You can treat her like an equal, a fellow human being.
Damn.
Whoa. There was another long silence. Hagen shook his head. You've got Mike wrong. You're mad because he lied to you. Well, he warned you never to ask him about business. You're mad because he was godfather to Carlo's boy, but you made him do that. Actually, it was the right move for him to make it if he was going to take action against Carlo. The classical tactical move to win the victim's trust.
The victim's trust.
Hagen, that's like on Carlo's. That's a Carlo's biography, right? The victim's trust.
Brought to you by the victim's trust.
I was gonna say Carlo's autobiography, but if he had written that, he would have known and then avoided.
That's true.
Hagen gave her a grim smile. Is that straight enough talk for you? But Kay bowed her head. Hagen went on.
You see why this is the most awful day of her life.
But I am bringing out this because it's the last minute, but also it kind of reveals some interesting things here. Oh, this is another one. Hagen went on. I'll give you some more straight talk. After the Don died, Mike was set up to be killed. Do you know who set him up? Tessio.
What?
So Tessio had to be killed. Carlo had to be killed. Because... Khartoum had to be killed.
Paul had to be killed.
Which of those three did I make up, Alex?
I think it was Tessio.
Yeah. And Flop is going to have to be killed if he doesn't... And Walt is going to have to be killed if he doesn't get Flop the part in his new war picture. It's going to make him a big star. Michael could have forgiven it, but people never forgive them. But people never forgive themselves, and so they would always be dangerous. This sounds like Don DeVito's real, like, hard to interpret wisdom.
Wait, what? What was the line?
So Tessio had to be killed, Carlo had to be killed, Polly had to be killed, Flop had to be killed, because treachery can't be forgiven.
Uh-huh.
Michael could have forgiven it, but people never forgive themselves, and so they would always be dangerous.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't get it, Alex.
Why would them forgiving themselves make them more dangerous?
So they would always be dangerous. I don't know.
I mean, I could see more of the rationale being, we have to kill people who go against us to stop other people, so other people will know what happens
if
they go against us.
Yeah, like that's more straight.
You know.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Poozer writes, Michael really liked Tessio. He loves his sister, but he would be shirking his duty to you and his children, to his whole family, to me and my family, if he let Tessio and Carlo go free. They would have been a danger to us all our lives.
All our lives.
And that's Tom Hagen's autobiography. And by the way, none of this is true. This is all speculation.
I'll deny saying any of this. Yeah.
Puto writes, Kay says, is that what Michael sent you up here to tell me? Hagen looked at her in genuine surprise. No, he said.
No.
He told me to tell you You could have everything you want and do everything you want as long as you take good care of the kids, Hagen smiled. He said to tell you that you're his Don. That's just a joke.
not legally, of course.
Don't tell the cop over James.
Figure of speech.
That's not a legal term.
We need you to sign this piece of paper acknowledging that it is strictly a metaphor for your role in the relationship.
It's not an official title. It does not carry any authority within
the sacred relationship.
Oh, that'd be ironic that's one of the documents that the Senate investigation committee gets a hold of.
The affidavit?
Like, we have a signed document here by Kay Adams saying that she's not the Don. What does this mean? Okay, almost there, Alex. Kay put her hand on Hagen's arm. He didn't order you to tell me all the other things. Hagen hesitated a moment as if debating whether to tell her. You still don't understand, he said. If you told Michael what I've told you today, I'm a dead man.
Whoa.
He paused again. You and the children are the only people on this earth he couldn't harm. And then Kay decides to go back to New York.
Oh.
A week after she returned to Michael, she went to a priest for instruction to become a Catholic. Yep. And then the very last sentence of the book.
Do you think she became a Catholic because Mikey was raised Catholic, so she wanted to at least, like, if she was going to save him, she had to go to his religion to kind of make sure?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I guess so. Which is odd because that's even against what Mikey wants.
Yeah.
Mikey wants her and the family to become Protestants, but maybe that's her connection to helping him be forgiven. Or her path to salvation. So the very last sentence in the book, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
So Kay is in church doing prayers and stuff, and Puzo writes a bit about that.
Is she sitting in pew?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Puzo writes, page 443, last sentence of the novel, Alex. Then, with a profound and deeply willed desire to believe, to be heard, as she had done every day since the murder of Carlo Risi, she said the necessary prayers for the soul of Michael Corleone.
Dun, dun, dun.
And. Oh, I thought you were doing Johnny's song.
Johnny Williams. So, let's rate this minute. I'm ready.
I'm ready.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5, 5, 5.
Yes.
Cinco. What is the six?
Cinque.
Cinque.
That's right.
All right.
Wow, we did it, Alex.
We did it. Nothing left of the credits now, and I guess it'll be up to us to decide what we do with those remaining minutes.
That's right.
One thing I'm going to say is I want to encourage everyone, now that we're done with the movie proper, if you have any questions for us about it,
mm-hmm.
anything you want us to address, any things that we left that we forgot about, any other things that we asked, we answered that we forgot to answer,
mm-hmm.
you can email us godfatherminute@gmail.com and hopefully we'll get to answer some of your questions. So there you go.
And Alex, is our tentative plan. We have a few minutes of credits, and so we're going to do those.
Yes.
Talk about who knows what, and then do a few more. Just weeks of kind of random Godfather fun bits like Mad Libs and games and raps and stuff. Well, and then do GF2? Are we gonna?
I think what we'll do is,
what's the plan?
The plan is we're gonna finish the movie,
mm-hmm.
And then after that we will only be doing bonus episodes for about a month.
That's right.
And then we will begin our coverage of mm-hmm. GF2. So probably like beginning of January, we'll say.
Yeah,
probably.
That's right.
So stay tuned for that.
Oh, and Alex, I have some good news. All the Godfather jingles and songs I made during the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So I recorded and mixed them myself, but you're really not supposed to mix your own stuff. So I'm having them professionally remixed.
Hmm.
And so probably in the next few months.
You don't
months,
think you're enough of a band leader to do it?
I needed treble leveling lessons and and
loudness lesson.
Reverb
loudness.
Lessons.
Remember loudness on stereos?
Yeah.
What is that? Like just like more bass?
I think so. Yeah. Probably.
Loudness.
But there was also bass.
Well, some depending on how sophisticated your boombox was.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was on like a stereo.
I think either one. Again, depending on how sophisticated your boombox was.
Yeah.
The line between boombox and home stereos got very thin there. With.
Ooh.
You're saying, oh, like I was saying a controversial opinion.
No, well, you're blending genres. Yeah. You're mixing media. Yeah, and so what I'm saying is we'll be releasing those songs sort of professionally remixed, remastered, and we'll be making, at a minimum, lyric videos and releasing them probably on the Godfather YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe so you can get them right away when we push them out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I thought of one other fun idea I have in my notes, Alex.
What's that?
Maybe during the bonus content break, we can have you draw two identical Godfather pictures, but with a few items changed.
Uh-huh.
And the viewers have to pick where the items are changed.
Tell the difference.
Tell the difference. That's it.
Yeah.
Godfather, tell the difference.
Sure.
So stick around for bonus content. We do have one we ask, we answer, if there are knock-knock jokes abroad.
Mm-hmm. And
our standing items, right?
Well, I thought we were kind of done with them. Our standing items, weren't we?
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Because now it's just freeform.
Freeformed.
All right.
Yeah. Going improv. Hopefully.
So if you guys want to hear that, go to godfather.com/support. And until next time.